Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. If your life lacks meaning, you don't have to tolerate it. Meet Dr. Joni Liu. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Dr. Joni Liu. She is an expert on the topic of concussions. She's a sports medicine physician, author, speaker, and brain expert who is internationally recognized, and she is committed to helping her patients get personalized healing plans. She has a lot of passion around concussions, prevention, and more that she is going to discuss with us today. So before we get started, Dr. Joni, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Lynette. And I love the fact that you want to motivate your listeners to improve their lives. So thank you so much for making me part of your mission.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, you know, we kick the show off with a quote that's meaningful to the guest. Do you have one to share with us today?
Well, it's one that I have for myself and that I like to share with other people. It's stop fighting yourself and take a stand on something.
Excellent. And tell us how you connect to that.
Well, it really has a lot to do with what I do today, because I used to be a professional engineer and I did that for 24 years before I went on to do much more meaningful work. And while I was studying Chinese medicine, that's when I discovered that there were some very important elements that we're missing as far as becoming healthy and keeping healthy. And then much later on, I found out that concussions and post-concussion syndrome is something that is extremely serious and that we need to address right now, not in the future.
You know, I'm going to say two things. Number one, as a high school teacher, I saw multiple, especially, I don't know if it's more prevalent with the freshmen, because I taught freshmen, ninth graders. I don't know if it's more prevalent for them because they're just getting into high school sports, but you can immediately tell when a student has a concussion. Their eyes are glazed over. They're just distracted. They're not, they struggle focusing. Sometimes they have such bad headaches, really bad migraines, like to the point of, you know, where they can cry about it. And they get very, very frustrated, like frustrated with themselves that they can't remember things. And, you know, it's debilitating. And so I can see how this became a passion of yours. And I was really struck, Dr. Joni, on your website, how passionate you are about this, to the point where you know that you are saving lives by helping people with this.
Wow, I'm really grateful that you're saying all this. And I'm really astounded that you could tell that these kids were not acting normally. And that's the whole point, is that everybody is, they focus so much on trying to diagnose a concussion when it's so obvious. We already have the criteria. And besides the fact, you as a teacher were already very observant. You knew what was normal and what was not for these kids. So we already know how to diagnose it. So let's do something about it now instead of wringing our hands and trying to come up with more research projects to figure out if somebody's got a concussion. No, we already know how to assess the situation. Now, let's do something about it by having finally real comprehensive treatment for these people so they don't have to keep on suffering.
What is the normal protocol now? Because I know as a teacher, and sometimes the parents, I would email them and say, you know, listen, so-and-so really struggled today. They were very upset. They were visibly, I did send them to the nurse, you know, whatever it was. And they would sometimes respond back and say, thank you. Thank you, like you just said, for seeing my child when they're in your class and for recognizing this, because other people are telling me they don't see these symptoms. They don't see these things going on. But it's so evident, you know? So what is the protocol? Like, what is the next step for treatment?
Okay, right now, there is no protocol. Basically, all they do is just tell people, whether they're children or grown men and women, you know, go stick around in your room, in the dark room, and do nothing for a few days or several days. So that's usually what happens right after somebody has a concussion, okay? A suspected one. But unfortunately, when we tell people to do nothing, well, they're human beings. They cannot just sit still, especially when they're very active people. They will not sit still. And the other thing is that what are they thinking about? Because if we're talking about the brain, then we have to be thinking and doing something about the brain, because the things that influence our brain and our body for that matter is what we're thinking. Because their own research is saying that when people are left alone like this, that they actually have more susceptibility to depression. And why is that? Well, that's because they're thinking the worst. They're thinking the worst, and that is no way to start healing. So for me, it's more about, okay, monitoring the situation, but not removing them from daily life. If they feel comfortable doing something, then they should try doing it. See how it feels. If it makes their symptoms, their condition worse, then stop doing it. But we have to know, because everybody is different. I mean, their own research, or, you know, they're saying the same things, except they're applying, again, a one-size-fits-all so-called protocol of doing nothing to everybody. Okay, now, it's kind of funny. Over the summer holidays, a bunch of new neurologists, I guess somebody said 90% of neurologists now agree that we have to do something. Except, that's great, guys, except they have nothing to fall on, which is kind of strange because they have the information. We've got all this great neuroscience, neuropsychology, neurogenesis, neuroplasticity, all that great research, and they're not using it. And that is the most frustrating thing for me. However, I do have a process.
Which is what?
Which is all based on psychological fitness, mental fitness. Because if we're talking about the brain, then we have to use the brain in order to heal the brain. And that also requires better thought processes, considered, disciplined thought processes, because the brain is an emotional organ. So when we think certain thoughts, then we become more positive. We can become more confident. And so these processes help a person to raise their awareness that they are that competent person. The thing is that's important here is that a person must become stronger mentally before they can become stronger physically. We have the research that shows, because of these wonderful functional MRIs, we can actually see the brain working. We can actually see a mindset changing. And that's what's so remarkable about the research today, because we can actually see things happening in there.
I have to tell you something. We talk all the time on this show about how your thoughts are everything and how that you can raise your level of positivity. You can design your own future. You can become self-confident. That 95% of what we worry about never occurs. All of these things. So to hear you talk about the brain in this light is really pretty fascinating for me right now.
Because it's all totally true. It's 100% true. We've got the research. So if these neurologists, if these neuroscientists are, you know, still navel gazing, like, I don't get it. However, it doesn't really surprise me because they try to separate, modern medicine tries to separate the mind from the body, from the spirit. And you just can't do that because what you think is who you are and what you become. Now, all this wonderful research does, however, dovetail perfectly with classical Chinese medicine. And I want to make that really clear. We knew about these things thousands of years ago without having to have all this machinery and technology. Only because we observed what people did, because this is medicine for people. It's not for mice, not for pigs, not for rabbits. It's medicine for people. And that's where the wisdom came from.
You know, something else I think, Dr. Joni, that's really pretty fascinating with you is the fact that you were in a corporate job for over 20 years, right? And then you became super passionate about something that is more meaningful, which is something else we talk about here is, you know, taking leaps in your life, which it sounds like that's what you did. So how long have you been working in this profession now? Because it sounds like you have your stuff together here.
Oh, believe me, it's been a long journey. It's been difficult at times. It's been challenging. It's, you know, I've had to, when I first said that I was quitting the corporate life back in 2003, 2002, you know, there was a whole bunch of opposition. My husband wasn't happy about it. My parents weren't very happy about it. You know, they were talking about, well, what about healthcare benefits? What about your pension when you retire? And I would say, I'm not retiring. Yeah, I'm going to live for as long as, and work for as long as I want to do what I want. That was the bottom line. And, you know, they were afraid I was going to lose all my skills. Well, heck, I have used all my analytical skills to be the doctor that I am. I wouldn't be a doctor if I didn't have those analytical skills. I wouldn't be able to help people. I wouldn't be able to grow as a person and a doctor if I didn't have those skills. So my whole entire life journey has led me to where I am today. And the thing is that you have to find something that you're passionate about, or life isn't worth living. Life isn't worth living.
Oh, you're talking to the right person. What do you think you learned about yourself through all of that?
There was so much. I had to learn how to listen really well and deeply. I had to learn how to listen to myself really well and fight those doubts, those periods of low self-esteem. I didn't allow myself to get depressed, though. I learned to be very, even more persistent and even more stubborn than I was before. I learned that I didn't have to be liked or accepted by everybody. I had to stand up for myself, to myself. I had to really, unfortunately, I guess the word fight for what I stand for. Yeah.
And you know what, though? I can hear all of that in your person now, because when you're talking about what you see that can be better as far as in the medical profession and the treatment of being concussed or concussions, I was thinking to myself, this is a very knowledgeable woman, B, a very strong woman, and C, a very brave woman, to just lay it all out on the line. So, you know, for my listeners to hear what you're saying right now, people just, they think that some people are born a specific way and they don't understand that. And I don't care if it's, let's say, somebody like me who tries to remain very positive, right, in life, or somebody like you who needs to get past these limiting beliefs that you just talked about and be stronger, be braver, be more confident. All of these things, like, we weren't born this way. It's an effort. We make the decision to be this way, and then we make the continual effort to be this way.
Oh my God, you are so right, Lynette. You have hit it right on the head. Lynette, that is so insightful, and I hope your listeners are just absorbing this because they really need to hear that.
Well, you know, you and I are both women who have made changes later in our lives, in our careers, and have done something that we believe is true to who we are, despite, you know, I mean, I was a teacher. I had a teacher pension. You know, I had the same, my parents felt the same way. What are you doing? You know? But you have to be true to yourself, and you have to trust and believe that if you work hard at what you're doing, it's right for you.
You know, I'm just sitting here, Lynette. I'm sitting here and I'm nodding at every word that you're saying. You're just awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, did you read any type of book that kind of helped you and inspired you on this journey?
Very recently, well, I started in May 2014, A Course in Miracles. Very important book because it was downloaded from God and from Jesus through two psychology professors down in California. I think it was Berkeley. And these two used to hate each other. And then they found out that they had to work together. But the thing is that this is a book that tells you the truth about mankind. It tells you the truth about who you are, about who you really are and why you're here. And when you know why you're here, which is to lift each other up, okay, not bring each other down. We're here to lift each other up. That's when the healing truly begins. That was a major breakthrough for me. I had that book in my library for 3 years. And then one day I was reading a chapter of Game of Thrones. I couldn't read it. It was too negative. And so I put it down. So I went through my library and all of a sudden I saw it. I hadn't actually even remembered it was there. It was time for me to read this book. Well, it's not just about reading it. I'm still studying it.
I love those kinds of books that you feel like you're studying it.
Well, the thing is to take it literally. You do not need to interpret this book. You take it literally.
Okay, good to know. Now, listen, this part of the show is Motivate Me, Express to Success, because Dr. Joni, I believe in order to get anybody to act, they need to first envision something for themselves, then explore what it would take, and then execute a plan. So for example, I mean, here you were in corporate and you made this decision. You were thinking to yourself, you know, I think sports medicine might be my jam, right? This might be better suited for me. Did you envision that for yourself first, see yourself doing it, and then explore what it would take? Because that's where I'm trying to help my audience to execute plans and take that next step. So for somebody who wants to make a change like you did, what do you think they should envision?
Actually, the truth be it is that I had no idea that I was going to end up doing what I'm doing today.
But what did you think you were going to be doing?
I was definitely looking at three different options at the time. Okay, so I was looking at natural nutrition. I was looking at Western herbology, and I was looking at traditional Chinese medicine. And so I did my research and looked and, you know, went to classes to audit and discovered that, well, with natural nutrition, I could teach them because they couldn't teach me anything more. With herbology, I discovered that I had to be a green thumb, and I'm not. And with traditional Chinese medicine, after discussing and doing research on that, I discovered that I could turn my practice into anything that I wanted. And that's what appealed to me because it was open-ended. And so the thing is that you have to spend time with yourself and dig deep, because if you're unhappy, you're already experiencing something in your life, you know, whether it's physical or mental, emotional, that is troublesome. And that's your biggest clue that you have to make a change. So you have to make a decision first that you have to change, because the change isn't going to come from anywhere except within yourself.
So to envision then, and I love how you explored, because that's exactly what I'm talking about, how you explored all the different avenues that you could go. So are you saying for listeners to envision, first they need to envision themselves living a happier life, doing something that's more meaningful to them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's what we're all looking for, is meaning. Why are we doing this? You have to start questioning yourself. Question why you are doing something that you don't like. I mean, sometimes it's not about avoiding it, because if what you're doing and you don't like it is actually going to lead you to something that you will like, then you damn well better be doing it. But if it's something that is so different from your principles and from your values, then there's something wrong there for sure.
Okay, and so then to explore.
Yes, you must investigate the things that you like. Stop doing the things that you're weak at. Definitely explore the things that you are strong at. Forget about your weaknesses. Focus on your strengths.
Okay, and then to execute a plan.
Have a goal in mind. Write it down. Set up a plan for it, or at least a set of strategies to get there. Hold that goal in mind. The thing is that your plan is going to change. It's a living and breathing thing, because we do not determine how or what we're going to get there, or even the timing. But stay on to that goal. And if for some reason, you know, you can still be flexible. If after working at it, it's not the right one, because God knows, I really had to go through my own exploration many times until I knew what it was that was going to give me more meaning. Invest in your self-education, invest in yourself, and give yourself a break. Be gentle. Please be gentle with yourself, okay?
Dr. Joni, can you give us an example of a patient that you worked with that really made you feel like this is the meaning in my life I've been looking for?
I had a client who was actually a teacher like you. Mm-hmm. She also taught high school. And she came to me because she had suspected trigeminal neuralgia, which is a really bad pain in the jaw. And she was getting to the point where she couldn't speak, which is a bad thing when you're a teacher, right? Because she was not ready to retire yet. And so she and her daughter were just walking by my clinic, and she said, "Hey, Mom, go in and see this person." They didn't know me, but with the few minutes that we talked, she decided, "Okay, I'll come see you." And there were things that we discovered that were lodged in her jaw: the abandonment, the regret, the worry, the anger that she had experienced through a very serious life event in her life, which I won't talk about here. But it was all about letting go of that situation. And so after the first set of treatments, she was definitely on her way to getting better. So I offered, "Okay, let's do another set." And she said, you know, Dr. Joni, you're right. I want to get this. I want to get through this and finish with this. I want to leave this all behind, all that pain behind. Let's get it done." When she told me that, it was like gold to my ears. Yes.
What does treatment look like for something like that? And I actually had braces a second time for TMJ. So I'm thinking she had a lot of stress. She was doing a lot of clenching, a lot of grinding.
It was, well, sure, there was that physical stuff, but it was more the mental, emotional turmoil that she had lived with for a couple of decades already. That was what was actually lodged in that particular part of her body. It could have been somewhere else, but in her particular case, that's where her body was weakest, and that was what was affected. So in this case, there was a lot of teaching, a lot of mentoring, and a lot of consulting, because I'm not a psychotherapist. I'm not a counselor. We don't do counseling. We do stuff that where people actually take action on what it is that's bothering them, and so that they can finally release it. And that is through seeing the good side of life, because we all have it, but we soon miss it when we are in that much pain. Okay? So it's all about mental fitness. It's all about mental wellness. That is the essence of classical Chinese medicine.
Where is your clinic located?
My clinic is located in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Okay. So what closing advice would you like to share?
I want to tell people that we're all here to raise the spirits of people as well as ourselves. When we heal, other people heal because we're all in this together. And when we are sick, everybody else gets sicker along with us. So it's really important that you pay attention to the thoughts that you have because they are habitual. Okay, so it's better. So it's extremely important that we start developing better habits of thought.
I like that. So for contact information.
Okay, if you'd like to contact me, you can reach me on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter. All you have to do is search for Dr. Joanny, J-O-A-N-N-Y. And you can reach me at my website at www.drjoanny.com, drjoanny.com, where you can get a free report for the five things that you should never do when you have an injury. And you can also find my books on Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, Knockout Concussions and Heal Your Concussion books.
Okay, excellent. And I would like to make you a part of our private group on Facebook too, so people can get in touch with you there. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
All right, so right now, everybody, it is your go do. So Dr. Joanny, what should they go do right now today to get started in this direction?
Okay, so remember, you're either growing or you're dying. So don't stand still. Make the changes that you need to make right now. So make a list of the things that you tolerate, but which you know that you dislike. Go through, do the first one, move forward on that thing, make a change of some sort, then go to the next one, and next one, and next one, until you're done with that list. Get moving forward.
And Dr. Joanny doesn't mess around, ladies and gentlemen, so I think you should get on that right now today. That is the end of the show. Thank you so much, Dr. Joanny.
And thank you again. It's been a wonderful pleasure.
And ladies and gentlemen, please remember that you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.